Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Jude with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to our program. This is the second episode of our special program. We're teaching about escape, survive, and endure. This is a topic that is about eschatology. It's about part of the prophetic scenario. And in particular, we're talking about a group of people that will be in the period of time we know as the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years that precedes the coming of the Lord. And in particular, we're talking about the group called the Tribulation Saints. I'm going to review a couple of scriptures with you this time and go into more detail of what I introduced to you in the first program. And we're going to deal with some controversies associated with this teaching right off the bat, because as people are viewing this program, they're going to have some natural questions about what in the world am I talking about, and why am I talking about a group of saints that are going to make it through the Great Tribulation? Because they, quite honestly, not very many teachers have taught that. So we're talking about those who are going to escape, survive, and endure, and the Bible has a lot to say about them. And that's what this program is about. I want to take you first to a passage in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 21, follow along with me as I share with you. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting from fear and the expectation of things that are coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, obviously, this is a passage where the Messiah is talking about his second coming. He's talking about at the end of the Great Tribulation. All these great judgments have hit the earth during this time. But you'll notice in the last phrase, he's exhorting someone who's there, believers who are there, hey, lift up your heads and watch me come. And the only way you can have believers watching the coming of the Lord on the clouds of heaven is obviously they're on the earth during the days of the Great Tribulation. And in this case, they made it all the way through the 3.5 years so they could see the coming of the Lord. Now, one of the first things I want to take note of, and this is the controversy that some may have about viewing this program, there is no pre-trib rapture. There is no rapture of the saints, and the coming of the Lord is not in the twinkling of the eye. You will see the sign of the Son of Man coming. What is in the twinkling of the eye? It's the resurrection and the rapture. It's not the coming of the Lord in the twinkling. It's the change from mortal to immortal, from a person who's asleep in the Lord to getting their new body and being resurrected. That's the twinkling of the eye, not the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord will be very visible to the world. There will be the sign of the coming of the Lord. It gives time for the enemies to try to hide in holes of the earth. You and I as believers, if we're there, we're supposed to be lift our heads and see the coming of the Lord. And again, you can't have this happening. This exhortation means nothing unless you have tribulation saints who escaped, survived, and made it all the way through the Great Tribulation to see the coming of the Lord. Now, they are specifically described. The tribulation saints are specifically described in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, in answer to who's able to stand in the great day of the wrath, it gives an answer in chapter 7 of the 144,000. And the tribulation saints. I want to read to you about the tribulation saints. Revelation chapter 7, beginning of verse 9. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders responded, saying to me, Though these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they, and where have they come from? And I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And for this reason, they are before the throne of God. They serve him night and day in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. And they will no longer hunger or thirst, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is the center of the throne, will be their shepherd, and will guide them to the springs of the waters of life, and will wipe every tear from their eyes. So here's a specific group in the book of Revelation that is identified. These are the believers who come out of the great tribulation. They go through the great tribulation, and they're the ones there to receive the Lord when he returns. And you'll notice there's a reference to some of the difficulties they had to endure while they were in the great tribulation, heat, water, so forth. And it also makes reference to, and I want you to take note of this, that they have palm branches. And we'll speak more to that because that's one of the clues about how they make it through the great tribulation is those palm branches. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. So let me reiterate again, and I know this is the controversy of this program for a lot of people. No, there is no rapture before the great tribulation or the seven-year tribulation. By the way, the seven-year tribulation is a theory. It's not reality. The Bible only speaks of a three-and-a-half-year great tribulation. That's what the Messiah talked about. In fact, the Messiah gave a direct answer on this. I want you to take you to the words of Yeshua, asked by the disciples, what will be the signs of the end? What should we be expecting at the end? Now, we're not answering what maybe you have heard from others. We're not answering with, oh, what's going to happen to the great and glorious church? We're answering the question of that was directly said, what are the signs of the end and having to do with you, Yeshua, when you come? And here's how he answered in Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. Here's his direct answer. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. He's pinpointing a specific prophecy given by Daniel. What is that prophecy? It has to do with an altar that's carrying out the daily sacrifice on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, in the place where the temple would be. Now, it doesn't say that there's a full temple and sanctuary, it just says there's an altar there, and they're doing the daily sacrifice. And suddenly, one day, the daily sacrifice will be stopped. Either the morning lamb will be stopped or the evening lamb will be stopped. But one of those two sacrifices, or both, will be stopped on that particular day. On that day, when that happens, is when the abomination of desolation takes place. And that's what Yeshua then says of this. In verse 21, he says, For then there will be great tribulation, such has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will again. So we're talking about a time of distress that's going to come on the world, the last 3.5 years, and the first event of the first day, okay, is the shutting down of that altar. I want you to take note of what he did not say. He did not say, There's a rapture. Did you hear that? He wasn't talking about the rapture. That's not the start of the Great Tribulation. The start of the Great Tribulation is that prophecy spoken of by Daniel. Now, here's fundamentally the question for my friends who want to believe in the pre-trib rapture and don't want to listen to the message of here, is if you see the abomination of desolation and the rapture hasn't taken place, what are you going to do? I would hope that you would adjust your eschatology. I would hope that you would go back to the scriptures and some of the scriptures I'm going to show you in these programs. What did the Lord actually say about this? And let's focus in on what the Lord said, and let's lay down our hopes and expectations that we've been told and shared with by many other previous teachers, all kinds of prophecy books and so forth that we've all experienced in my lifetime. He goes on to say, verse 22, "And if those days had not been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." I want you to take note of something. The elect that he's referring to are the believers. And there's going to be believers in the Great Tribulation. And God says, "I will cut the days of the Great Tribulation short, or else they wouldn't even have made it." So he's talking about those who escape, survive, and endure all the way to the end. And he's talking about it's in the Great Tribulation. Now he gets through the description of the Great Tribulation, and now he's going to talk about what happens immediately after the Great Tribulation. We've got believers standing there. We've got people who've been judged. We have this great trauma that has come over the world. And so at verse 29, he continues explaining the events, and he says this, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of the sky to the other." So again, let me reiterate what I shared with you from Luke chapter 21. When the Lord comes back, the world sees it. It's not instantaneous. He's going to come through the universe. He's going to come through the clouds of heaven. The powers of heaven are shaken because he's going to shake all of the galaxies and constellations that are out there as the power of him comes from his throne through the universe to us. It'll be an awesome scene. We're going to hear a loud trumpet, just like what he talked about. And he says, then in a moment, a very quick moment, there's going to be the gathering of his elect, the gathering of his saints. And as I'll reiterate to you later on, Paul describes it in the twinkling of an eye. That's when that part happens. So the coming Lord is not in the twinkling of the eye. The resurrection is in the twinkling of the eye. But the actual coming of the Lord is something that's seen by the world. And it clearly is in the days immediately after the tribulation. There is no scripture given by the Messiah where he ever said, now before this great tribulation thing takes place, I'm going to come and rapture the church. Never says it. All he talks about is his believers. They're going to see him coming at the end of the great tribulation. And by the way, I would remind you that the elect is considered to be all the believers of today. The doctrine of election is those of the chosen people, that God has chosen us by his grace and mercy. We've been forgiven of our sins, and we have the gift of eternal life. And we're going to be on the earth and see this abomination of desolation. If we make it 3.5 years, if we escape, survive, and endure to the end, we will see the coming of the Lord. And it's absolutely fascinating when you stop and think here for a moment as to what that day will be like. I'm not talking about the start of the Great Tribulation. I'm talking about the day when he comes. I'm talking about the day when you and I get lifted off the earth and we are transformed from being mortals to immortals. That will be a terrific day. That's the second coming, and that's the resurrection and the rapture, folks. Now, let's talk about the saints that are in the Great Tribulation. Not everybody is going to escape, survive, and endure to the end. There's some other people that will be in the Great Tribulation, but they have a different destiny. And this is introduced to us in Revelation chapter 13 at verse 9. It says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He's got something he's going to profoundly say. And verse 10 says this, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here's the perseverance and the faith of the saints. It turns out there's really three destinies for the saints that will be in the Great Tribulation. You and I, the people. Some are going to take weapons, and they're going to attempt to defend themselves and maybe defend other people. But if that's their destiny, that's what they're going to do. The Lord has said, if you pick up the sword, you will die by the sword. So they're going to be in the Great Tribulation for a while. They'll be in violent activities, and they will die. There's another group that won't do anything. They won't escape. They won't do the escape thing. They won't take up weapons. They're going to be taken captive. And the captivity specifically speaks of they're only being captive for about 10 days. And they're also going to suffer death. In fact, I'll show you where in Revelation in the letters, it says, be faithful unto death so that you might receive the crown of life. So that's another destiny. And right now we know, if we take a quick survey of all the saints that are here on the earth that believe in the Lord, if all of a sudden you brought the question up, what would you do if the Great Tribulation started? Some people would say, oh, I'm going to do such and such. And other people say, well, I'm not going to do anything. And then the group I'm talking to and you and me, I want to talk to you about God's deliverance that he has planned. And he does have a deliverance planned for his people. If you will listen to him and if you'll follow his instructions. And by the way, this deliverance has been talked about repeatedly by the prophets. And that's really the heart of the subject that I want to share with you. I want to share with you about the saints that don't have these destinies. They have the destiny to escape, survive, and endure. Now, what specifically am I referring to? What verses really address the people that are going to escape? And there is a bunch of them. I'm going to give you a little quick survey of the prophets and what the Lord said about those who escape. I want you to listen real carefully. Let me start with Joel chapter 2. At verse 32, it says this. We're talking about the day of the Lord. We're talking about those events of the Great Tribulation. Here's what he says. And it will come about that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, just as the Lord said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So in that case, they even use the term escape and survive at the same time. Well, obviously, escaping and surviving the Great Tribulation, it is based first upon calling upon the Lord and asking for that deliverance. Now, if you don't know about this deliverance and you don't know what God's plan, and all of a sudden you get hit with the Great Tribulation, do you have enough sense to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, would you please deliver me and my family during this time of the Great Tribulation? This verse says that's the people who escape and survive. They're the ones who are going to do that. They're going to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, we know we're in the Great Tribulation. You have promised us deliverance and salvation in these days. Please help us. And that's the prerequisite to getting into being one of the tribulation saints and making it all the way to the end. Let me take you to Luke chapter 21, verse 36. But stay alert at all times, praying that you will have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is a case where Yeshua is specifically talking about those that are going to make it all the way to the end. He said, pray that you'll have the strength to escape. Pray and ask God to help you. So here he is. He's saying there's people who are going to escape, but you got to talk to God. You got to get God on your side to help you to do this. This is not an automatic thing. God is going to deliver his people, and he's going to get the glory for having done so. Let me take you to another prophet who's not oft quoted, and that's Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 7. He says this, but on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape, and it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess their property. There will be those who escape, and that's what we're looking for. How in the world can we escape? Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 7, you, Zion, escape. You who are living with the daughter of Babylon. Now, that gives you an interesting clue, particularly about the Great Tribulation and particularly about the end of days. All of the prophets associate the Great Tribulation, and they associate the judgment that God's going to put on the world as judgment that's coming upon Babylon. The book of Revelation talks, a couple of chapters are dedicated. Babylon the Great has fallen, and get ye out of Babylon. You know, my people, leave Babylon. And the world system that is set up against God in the final generation is referred to the prophets as Babylon. Now, this is very, very appropriate, because if you go back and do a survey on all of the prophets of God who start talking about the subject of the day of the Lord, the ultimate judgment of God, when he comes back victoriously over the world, guess what they're talking about? They're talking about what God's going to do to Babylon. So Babylon is a reference by all the prophets to the end time world, the Babylonian system, the way they did things. And doing a study on Babylon and understanding the Babylonian exile and what Babylon was all about is a fascinating study to tell you all about the parallels of the world that we live in. Jeremiah 51, for example, almost is a description of the Western world, but Jeremiah is prophesying the judgment that will be coming ultimately on Babylon. And whenever they talk about the Babylonian event, you know, where the Babylonians came and captured Judah and took the captives back to the land, and they were there. Jeremiah said they'd be there 70 years and so forth. That thing is a prophecy. Are you ready for this? That's a prophecy about the day of the Lord, the end thing that will happen way at the end. So you see this example of what Babylon did, how powerfully they came in and overwhelmed Israel and the other nations. And you see that as an example of what will be happening at the end of the world when the Great Tribulation comes, overwhelms the world. And yet, as there was a remnant that was delivered out of Babylon, there's tribulation saints who will be delivered out of the Great Tribulation. And the parallels are used by the prophets to explain what's going on. There's another great parallel that's used in the prophecy about this, and it has to do with the Exodus from Egypt. And God will make reference to how he brought the children of Israel out, put them in the wilderness, how he dealt with them in the wilderness. And the wilderness experience is like the tribulation saints going through the great and terrible tribulation. In fact, the Hebrew word for Egypt, Mitzrayim, actually means trials and tribulations. And I'll show you where the prophets make reference to the escape that we make from this world is like unto the Exodus when we came out of Egypt. The patterns here and the prophecies and the pictures, the prophetic pictures, are extensive throughout the scriptures, talking about God's deliverance of his people in the midst of a great time of judgment. Let me take you a little bit further to Revelation chapter 18, since I introduced the subject of Babylon to you. I want to show you what in Revelation it says there about it and about us getting out of Babylon. Revelation 18, verse 2, "And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every clean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of sexual immorality with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich from the excessive wealth of her luxury. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come up out of her, my people, so that you do will not participate in her sins and receive any of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her offenses." Part of the escape that the Bible is talking about when you're escaping the Great Tribulation is it's modeled after coming out of Egypt, and it's also you are escaping from Babylon, the world that we live in at the moment extensively is Babylon. And that description here is pretty much a description of our world today. In particular, the United States, the Western world in particular, it's turned into a place of sin, luxury, riches, and a lot of nonsense that is against the Lord. And so the escape that God has got it planned for us is to get out of that. Now, we're still here on the earth. How in the heck do we get out of there? We're going to answer that. But it also opens the gate now to the business of survival. If we're going to leave the world as we understand it, first of all, where are we going to go? We're going to go into some kind of wilderness thing like the children of Israel went in the wilderness. They got away from the cities, got away from Egypt. We're going to get away from the cities of Babylon. We're going to be in the wilderness of the peoples. We'll be in a wilderness experience. And how do we survive that? Where do we get food? Where do we get water? Where do we get all the basic essentials of what we call basic survival? Now, I want to take you to a tremendous passage of Scripture that's going to address this subject, because at first, most people, when they hear about the Great Tribulation, they say, well, who in the world can survive that? I mean, God's judgments are being poured out upon the earth, and plus all the trash that's here in Babylon. How can we do it? I want to take you to this absolutely fascinating piece of Scripture where this gets answered. It's from the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 14, he poses this interesting question. Verse 12, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, and send famine against it, and eliminate from it human and animal life, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the midst, by their own righteousness they could only save themselves, declares the Lord God. And then he goes through another judgment and repeats this. For example, in verse 15, if I were to cause vicious animals to pass through the land, the only people that make it are going to be Noah, Daniel, and Job. They can't even deliver sons and daughters. They're going to be subject to this judgment. And then he goes on to, and he talks about verse 17, if I bring sword or war on a country, and I eliminate all the human life because of war, even though these three men were in the midst, they can only deliver themselves. They cannot even save sons and daughters of them, Noah, Daniel, and Job. So why did Ezekiel pick those three men? Well, let's go back and think about it for a moment. Noah was delivered from God's worldwide judgment of the flood. And the Great Tribulation will be delivered from the worldwide judgment of God. Daniel was delivered from the judgment of a king, other men. And he's the example of deliverance in the midst of that. Job was delivered from the judgment of Satan himself. These are the three examples of different deliverance from the judgment of God, from men, and from Satan. And he's saying, if I put these judgments on a country, on the world, the only people that can be delivered are them, that nobody else can get delivered. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not Noah, and I'm not Daniel, and I'm not Job. So how in the world am I going to get delivered? How can I be delivered? Which is worse is this. He says here, verse 21, for this is what the Lord God says, how much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, sword, famine, vicious animals, and plague, to eliminate human animal life from it. By the way, brethren, that is Ezekiel's reference to the first four seals of the Great Tribulation. The first four seals of the Great Tribulation are those judgments. Now, if God puts all of those on the world, how in the world can we be delivered if you're not Noah, Daniel, and Job? I have some good news for you. And this is where the prophecies come in for you. Verse 22, I love this verse. Yet behold, survivors will be left in it who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. There's going to be a group of survivors with sons and daughters who will escape all these judgments in the Great Tribulation when they come upon the world. Behold, they are going to come out to you. You will see their conduct and actions. then you will be comforted for the disaster which I have brought against Jerusalem, for everything which I have brought upon it." Isaiah also makes a reference to these same survivors, chapter 37, verse 32, where he says, "For out of Jerusalem a remnant will go, out of Mount Zion, survivors. The zeal of the Lord's armies will perform it." So I've introduced to you those who escape and the survivors, and we're going to talk in the next episode more about how they're going to accomplish this, how is this foreshadowed to us, what are we taught to help prepare us to be those saints that will make it through it. And until we get to the next episode, shalom to all of you.